Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you well?
Yes.
You had a good week?
Yes.
It's got a little cooler this week. I thought, where's summer gone? But bring on the snow. Anyone else bring on the snow?
No.
Well, and I thought we could be friends. Oh, well. No. It is good to have you with us. You know, I really do, I really am so grateful that you've taken the time out of your busy lives to gather with us, to worship, to prioritize church, you know, the gathering of the church. And amongst all of the things that you could be doing at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, you chose to spend it with us. And I just love seeing your faces. I love chatting to you afterwards. I love hearing you worship and meeting with God. And I just think it's awesome. But life can be busy, can't it? It can get full and full of stuff and things, and I don't know about you, but my life can get really noisy. I've got two little ones who like to make a lot of noise, and life with kids can be noisy, and life with grandkids can be noisy, and life with dogs can be noisy, and life around the office can be noisy, and it's good because when we hear these sounds, when we hear things going on, we know that there's a sense of life in the place. I love after the service at morning tea, just the chaos of noises, kids run back and forth and people catching up together. You only have to watch a parent panic to leave the room when their kid goes silent in the other room to know that the silence can sometimes go, what's going wrong? Because sound brings a life and we recognize life in a sound. Now, faith life, I think, is not a whole lot different, because we can read all throughout the Bible to make a sound, make a joyful sound. In Psalm 150, it tells us to make lots of sounds with all kinds of instruments. It says this: praise him with the sounding of the trumpet, praise him with the harp and lyre, praise him with timbrel and dancing, praise him with strings and pipe, praise him with a clash of cymbals. It must be important with cymbals, because it says praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We can read all throughout Scripture, and we see these patterns. Exodus tells us that Miriam took a timbrel, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing and singing. Psalm 95 says, let us sing for joy to the Lord and shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. First Chronicles tells us that David told the Levites to appoint other Levites to be musicians, to be people who specifically their job was to make music and sounds. Psalm 66 tells us to shout for joy to the Lord, sing glory to his name. And then we're told to be prepared to give an answer, to speak about the hope and the faith that we have. We're told to make a sound. In Joshua 6, God commands Joshua and all the Israelites to walk around Jericho, and not until the seventh time, on the seventh day, after walking around seven times, to make a whole lot of sound, to trumpet and shout, and the walls will fall. Make a sound to God. Tell others about your faith. Testify to what God is doing in your life. To me, it sounds like a whole lot of noise. But with all these sounds, all the sound of praising and singing and victory as the walls fell down, it's a pattern in these instructions throughout Scripture that we should follow. Make a joyful sound. Sing praises. Give glory to God with that noise, with that sound. But Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13:1 warns us, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Without love, we are simply making noise. Without love, it is just music. Without love, it is just singing. Without love, it is meaningless. In Exodus, we see Moses finally leading the Israelites out of Egypt, out of captivity. And just as they're nearing the Red Sea, Pharaoh's finally let them go. Just as they're nearing the Red Sea, Pharaoh has a change of heart. And he realizes that he's just let a huge portion of his workforce go and going, what in the world was I thinking? We've got to get them back. So he takes his army, he takes his chariots, and he chases after them. And the Israelites turn around, see Pharaoh and his army coming, and they panic. In fact, the Bible says that they were terrified and they cried out to God. They turned around after being terrified and crying out to God. They turned and then they complained to Moses. Sometimes in panic and worry, we can do things and say things we don't really mean or believe, or go back to old behaviors and ways of thinking that we'd laid down, but the threat of something coming or something being exposed can cause us to react when we need to simply be still. See, Moses answered the people as they were complaining to him, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." So the Israelites had turned and complained to Moses, "What were you thinking? Didn't we tell you that we didn't really want to come out here? Weren't there enough grave sites in Egypt that you could bury us, that you had to bring us out to the middle of nowhere to bury us? Didn't you know?" A whole lot of, I'm sure Moses would have been going, "Shh, guys. As Israelite after Israelite comes and complains and brings his own complaint and his noise and the sound of their complaining. And Moses says to them, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." And God then gives Moses his instructions. And after they had crossed the sea onto dry land, the Egyptian army and chariots began to be stuck and things started going wrong. The pillar of cloud and fire confused the army and they began to recognize this was not just human confusion and the physical breaking down of their chariots, but that God was fighting for them. And they say, "Let's get away." This is what the Egyptians said. "The Lord is fighting for them." Fighting for them, why? Because he loved them. They needed only to be still. And if we took a moment to consider this word love, that Corinthians here is talking about, the many facets and dimensions of love, the many types of love and ways to love, I'm sure you could come up with many different descriptions. But love is not always loud. For someone to know that you love them, even with this agape love that 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about, does not require you to yell it from the rooftops, "I love you." It doesn't require a cute post on Instagram and a lovely gushy caption to say, "I love you." Sure, that might be part of showing it. Because I know my Sarah loves it that when we leave a car park, I yell across the car park, "I love you!" in front of everyone else. It's one way of expressing your love. But true love, while it may appreciate big gestures, love is also intimate, strong, comfortable, the melt into the sofa and you don't need to say anything to the other person because you're both just there. That embrace after not seeing someone for a long time. Corinthians says it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. This kind of love is both loud and still. Even if you've not bought flowers or caught up for a coffee or remembered a birthday of your friend, even still, just being together, knowing that the other person is there, that friend, that 2 a.m. friend that you can call in the middle of the night when something is going wrong. The person you can call when life gets so busy, the house is a mess, the lawn is more weeds than grass, the dishes aren't done, those friends that love in all seasons. This is just a small reflection of the love of God for us. God is saying throughout the Bible, "Make sounds, sing praises, enjoy and make music." And then he whispers, "Come away with me, my love." In fact, that's the exact invite that we get in Mark when Jesus is, it's titled Feeding the 5,000, but the apostles had gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. And so he said to them, this is Jesus, says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Come away with me by yourself to a quiet place. This is Jesus inviting his disciples to draw aside with himself and rest. They had done a lot of doing. They'd made waves in the local towns and villages, and they'd come back to Jesus and were excitedly reporting to him all that they'd done, all that they'd taught. Jesus, we did this and we saw this, and you wouldn't believe what John did over there. So much had been going on. So many people kept coming up to them wanting more. Can you talk to me about this? Can you do this for me? So much doing, they'd not even had a chance to eat yet. And Jesus, standing there listening to them, I'm sure was so proud of his disciples. So grateful for their faithful service. So excited to hear what God was doing through them. But he notices they've not even eaten yet. He listens as they've told of all they're doing, and he says to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Come and rest with me. Come to a quiet place, away from the noise and away from the crowds. Let's rest and refocus. There is a lot to be done. A lot to do as followers of Jesus. We know this. It's in the Great Commission, we can read so much about it. Go, it says. Go and make, baptize, live on mission into all the world so that all will know the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. But Jesus is saying, as you go and do and live on mission, also take time to draw aside and rest, to be still and know that I am God. Greatest command, Jesus tells us, is to love God. Love God completely, in all ways, with all of us, in all forms, with every part of our being and doing. We are to love God. To go and tell it from the rooftops, Jesus is Lord. To forgive in the workplace, just as Jesus forgave us. To model grace to others, just as Jesus showed us grace by extending relationship. To gather and sing songs of worship and make joyful sounds, to live it loudly, but also in the quiet, in the silence, to be still and to love God. Stillness, I think, is a posture that we can have towards God. It's a readiness to hear what he is doing, to see where he's moving, to recognize his voice and to respond. Stillness allows us to quiet our minds and again refocus on the things of God. Lift our eyes off the temporary and the immediate and instead seek God's plans. His plans that he has laid out before us, for us. The things he's laid out ahead of us, for each of us. It's when life feels too overwhelming, too big, decisions, stress, or simply busyness that distracts us from quality time in his presence with him. Stillness draws us back to him and for him alone. We find Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And the Lord said to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was a great earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Too often I wonder if we look for the massive moments of God speaking of his movement, of his presence, and sometimes God does. He can. It's God. But I wonder if God's relationship with you and I is more similar to our relationship with one another. I say to my Sarah far more in private, I love you, than I ever do from a platform. I talk to my Sarah about my worries and fears way more at home after we've put the kids to bed than I do sat in the cafe surrounded by people. I talk to Sarah about hopes and dreams far more around the dinner table than I do with a microphone. Tell Sarah about my day when we sit on the sofa at the end of a long day more often than I post about my day on social media. None of these things are wrong or bad. Because I could stand here right now and say, Sarah, I love you. I worry sometimes about raising our boys in a world that's trying to shut out the things of God. I've never been more hopeful and excited about the church and what he's doing in us and through us. I can do all of that from a platform, with a microphone, in front of a whole lot of people. But more often we sit in the quiet at home and we have that personal conversation. Out of relationship, in a quiet place, away from the noise and bustle, that's where so much more of our real conversation happens. The whisper of God comes out of relationship with him, a closeness with Jesus. Relationship with our Creator and my Savior, both my friend and my King. So our challenge, do I create times of silence to draw away and to listen, to walk and talk and wait in the presence of God, to be still and let God fight for me, to walk in the physical life and presence that we have to walk, but allow God to do the supernatural. Listen in the physical, but allow God to speak in the spiritual. Because when God speaks, when we hear the whisper of God, when out of relationship with him, we hear him speaking and calling and inviting us, obedience becomes obvious. It was crazy for Moses to lift a staff to the sea. It was insane to walk around the city of Jericho so many times in silence and then just make a loud noise. But when you've heard God speak, when God speaks, when he whispers, obedience becomes obvious. When circumstances of the Hebrew people, as they exited Egypt, and the recognition that the physical journey ahead was going to be tough, it felt hopeless and hard, and it was Moses who reminded them, you need only to be still. Listen to God. God will fight for you. Trust in him. Don't look at things with our mere human perspective. Lift your eyes. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Trust God. He's been faithful before and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is faithful. Be still. The Lord will fight for you. It was the love and compassion of God that for the Hebrew people that God instructed Moses to go to Pharaoh and lead them out of slavery. It wasn't Moses' special staff that performed miracles and parted waters. It was obedience to God. It was a sure trust that God would, when we step out in obedience to what he has asked us to do, where he is leading us, that as we wait on him, be still, as the Israelites stood waiting for the waters to part, God did then what only he could do. It wasn't the noise that caused Jericho to fall. It was obedience to God. It wasn't the making of the sounds and the marching or the number of times. It was obedience to God that God delivered a city to his people. There must be times in our lives when we are still, find moments to draw away, to rest in God, to seek his direction, to allow God to do what only He can do, to open the door, perform miracles, or whisper. The Great Commission is still go. We still must raise our staff like Moses, walk around the city like Joshua, pray on all occasions, practice hospitality, forgive and act, but we must do so from moments of stillness and silence with God, a listening to His leading, and all with love. In a few moments, we're going to give some time to silence, away from the noise of the world with kids hopefully having a great time out at Life Kids, those lovely, blessed distractions. A moment to draw aside and simply listen. Last weekend, as I stood in worship, I felt God inviting us to come away with Him to a quiet place, and I felt Him say, "Let me speak." And it's what's helped lead me to preparing this message, for you to simply rest in His presence. Listen for His whisper. For many of you, we'll do this on a daily devotion with God, time spent away with Him. But if you've never really spent time in silence, or maybe you're new to faith or discovering this faith, and this whole idea of God whispering to you or to our spirit can seem a little bit odd, it's okay. It might be awkward for a few moments or a bit longer. It might then feel okay for a little bit, and then it might get awkward again. But I invite you to simply say, "God, speak to me. I've come to rest in Your presence." And as we sit in silence, there'll probably a whole lot of other thoughts rush your mind. Try to pull your mind to think about this, or what's for lunch, or what nights are we busy this week, or did Barbara cook blueberry muffins for morning tea this morning? No, she didn't. That's next week. But every time a thought like that comes into your mind, choose again to say, "I invite You, God, speak to me. I've come to rest in Your presence," and then thank Him. Then after about 5 minutes, the band's going to come and start playing, and we're going to invite you to stand, and we're going to sing and make a joyful sound to God again, to sing praises to Him as the Bible also tells us to do. But let's take a moment to listen to His whisper. Listen for that thought in your mind that you didn't put there, a Bible verse that you haven't thought of in a long time. And afterwards, note down in your phone or in a notebook, write down what you hear. Talk to someone about it over morning tea, if it's appropriate to share, and testify to His goodness. Encourage others who may not have heard anything but silence. If that's you, over the coming 5 minutes that you don't hear a whisper, choose to trust that God is still moving. And over this coming week, draw aside again and ask Him to make obvious any blocks or perhaps sin areas or distractions that are causing us to not focus or hear His voice. And then continue to invite Him to speak. And then do as He says in the silence and the whisper. God, would You speak to us?